It's the Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy Show, making healthy living fun for everyone.
I want to congratulate you on the show. It's really great.
Well, thank you. That's great to hear.
And I actually have your book, You Can't Lose Weight Alone. I love it.
You guys are excellent. I check you guys out every week.
I love your show. And every week I learn something new, so I think it's great.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it.
Join Dr. Fitness.
No, it's no longer a six-pack. No, it's the 8-pack and the 12-pack.
And the Fat Guy.
Or what I have, the pony keg.
They deliver the skinny. On Getting Skinny.
Doctor, another fine fall day here in the big ATL.
Lee, good to see you once again.
Good to see me?
A lot of excitement
or
today,
great
Lee.
To see me.
It's great to see you. It's always great to see you. Lime, you're wearing lime green today. Interesting.
Lime green.
It's not
to
summertime.
To celebrate fall. It's St. Patrick's Day.
No, it's not.
Somewhere.
Well, still an interesting choice of colors.
Oh, Mr., I'm wearing a scarf. You're telling me about colors? Really? You want to go there, metrosexual guy?
This was a scarf I got as a present from one of our trips to New York.
What, from a gay? Who? Who gave you that scarf? There's no one that gave you that.
I got this from the publicity summit, I think, up in
New
York.
Wasn't for you. It was for your wife.
I know. She didn't like it. But I like the feel of it. It's really comfortable. And it matches my jacket.
Yes. Does it match your thong?
You're so funny, Lee. Very funny today. I hope you're as funny like you are with me now when we have Lori David on our show later on today.
We shall see about that.
If she shows up. Yeah. Lori David, the ex-husband of... Ex-wife of Larry David. One of our favorite shows, right. Curb Your Enthusiasm.
That's it. We can't get the celebrity
book.
We want. We have to get their
no,
former spouse.
She has a great book called The Family Dinner. And great ways to connect with your kids. One meal at a time. We'll be talking with her later on. I'm excited to talk to her on the, a little bit later on today. What's going on, Lee? Anything happening with you? Anything fitness related? I saw yesterday. I love getting your little twits about
tweets.
I like twits.
That's good.
It's not a tweeter.
It's
Twitter, not a tweeter.
And it's tweets.
It's twits. So anyway, it doesn't really matter. But I saw that you're working out again. How did that happen?
No,
how did you walk that far?
Oh, how did I walk that far? I haven't walked
in a
while.
Because I know.
Yes.
You're,
How did I do that?
Oh,
my schedule broke for me.
So what'd you do?
I just went to the gym.
What do you mean you went to the gym? Oh, you went to the concourse gym.
Right.
So you went there.
I go there. I do my 10 minutes of treadmill to warm up.
And it was warm up. And 3,000 calories? How'd you get
10? And then I do weights.
Oh, that was all from
weight
training?
And then I do after that, then depending on the time, then I go on the one of the ellipticals.
Did you do your buffer zone? You put stuff.
I try to do a lot of muscle confusion. That's my specialty.
Yeah, I know.
I trick my muscles. I go push ups. No sit ups. And they're like, "Whoa, what's going on here? I'm confused."
Did you meet anybody at the gym? I know. Did anybody try to engage in conversation?
No,
with
but
you?
It has happened. I don't know if I've told you that there was a guy.
You don't shower at this gym, right? You don't
no,
go showering don't. And stuff.
No.
Right.
It's all like old men.
Right, old men.
It's
okay.
really
weird.
But I like it because I'm a young
guy. And
you're
talking about me being metrosexual. Okay,
right.
Go ahead.
So I do it. There is this one guy that's a very old guy who always engaged me.
When you say very old,
like,
are we talking about like our parents' ages?
50. No, no. He's like 75, you know,
okay.
80 years old.
Uh-huh.
And then I always wear dolphin shirts, you know. I have a million dolphin shirts.
Right.
So he always comes up to me. And we have the same conversation. He doesn't remember.
You're an environmentalist. You like
the dolphins.
Anything to do with the ocean.
Right. And so he comes up to me and he says, "You know, the Williams sisters are minority owners of the Miami Dolphins."
That's his breaking line.
Every time.
That's what
I
he comes
swear,
to you
I've had this conversation three separate times.
Uh-huh.
The same exact conversation.
And
at
was
first,
your...
I was like, yeah. But now I just go, oh, really? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, do you know my neighbor is also a minority owner of the Falcons?
Oh, that's like, that's must be, we must know them.
And I'm like, oh, really? And he's like, yeah. And a minority owner can go to so many away games. Like, he tells me the same story every time.
Right.
And then I go, do you know the Williams sisters? He's like, no. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, who would think that I would know two minority owners? It's the same conversation every time.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
same.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Maybe,
and that's it.
Maybe you need to come up with a better response.
And no, I'm going to say, I'm a minority owner. Now you know three.
I'm surprised, as a smart ass like you, you have not come up with a better comeback.
First of all, now this is what I go there with headphones on. I don't make eye contact to anybody. Okay, right. Nobody.
How come you don't wear sunglasses?
I would if it was brighter in there. Yeah. But no eye contact. This guy, he stands next to, like, I'll be on the treadmill. I do the same routine. Treadmill, 10 minutes, warm up, go lift weights. I'm on the treadmill watching TV with the headphones on.
Right, and okay? It's one of those TVs that's on the treadmill.
Right, in
so
front of
you're,
me.
You're locked
exactly.
in.
Exactly. Yeah. And he stands next to the treadmill. He just sits there, stands like a puppy.
Right next to you?
Stand next to the treadmill looking at me with those eyes.
You're kidding me.
And I'm like waving. Like,
yeah.
And he's like,
yeah.
And then he's like, you know, tell him 1 second. You know, right. I got one. And then he tells me to take the headphones off.
And when he's interrupting the workout.
Right. And then to tell me the story that he's told me multiple times.
Right. Well, let me tell you this. There should be some treadmill etiquette. I'll tell you one of the things that doesn't work for me. There's a guy. We both share the same thing. My gym, I have a lot of old people as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is about us going to gyms.
They have
and
a lot
people.
Of free time.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what the gyms should be marketing to is old people.
Really?
Because those are ones who can really use the place.
Right.
You know, they have the whole day to work out.
Right.
I have a gentleman, Lee. This is what he does to me when he sees me at the gym. I'm on the treadmill running.
Yeah.
He hits me. He hits
he
me.
He touches you?
He touches me, and I go for like I actually if it, it changes my you know, balance, and I almost fall off the treadmill. Now, you know I like to do lots of tricks. You know I like to do lots of things on the treadmill. You know, I can turn to the left. I can turn to the right. I've been doing it a long time. I feel real comfortable doing it, so it's really not that much of a problem. But to nudge you? How does that possibly come into the equation of being acceptable?
Is he a TSA agent?
No, he's not.
Sounds like he's a TSA agent.
No, but this is the thing. Like,
did he touch you in your no-no zone?
This is the thing. Like, usually I can see around. Like, if somebody walks in the gym, I can see people. But, you know, when I'm on the treadmill sometimes, I'm in the zone.
Right, and you're probably had it blasting your headphones, right? You're oblivious.
It's blasting. It's blasting. So this is what happened. So, like, I didn't even see him, and he nudged me. I went flying.
You fell off the treadmill.
No, I didn't go off the treadmill, but I was like, you know, me with my incredible balance.
Right.
You know, Dr. Fitness doesn't in fact fall.
Right.
So then I was at another gym, okay? Then I had this
another guy touch you?
No, he didn't touch me. This is what he did. He. Since I didn't acknowledge him because I'm in my zone, he goes like this.
What is that?
In front of me. I'm like, you know, waving your arm to like see if you're looking. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, hey, how are you? I'm like, I'm on the treadmill. What do you want me to do? Have a conversation? This is my time.
Do people really understand how gyms are supposed to work? If you wanted to interact, then you would do group exercise.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But anyway, I just know that that's a little weird, a little freaky, and
there should be classes when you join the gym about how
to act,
how to interact with the other members.
Okay, well, let's bring on our first guest today, Lee. We have with us Rick Osborne. He is the creator of Pull Your Own Weight. I thought it was Pulley, but no, it's PullYourOwnWeight.net, and he is a physical educator. He is helping kids immunize themselves against obesity. That's something that we both share. That we
want to immunize kids.
We got to shoot them. What now?
I want to know about. I want to know about his time in Black Sabbath.
Oh, that's right, Ozzy Osbourne's brother, Rick. Rick, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Doc.
Now,
for starters, I wouldn't know an Ozzy Osbourne tune if it hit me right between the eyes.
I'm the same way, except for Crazy Train. That's the only song I know because there was a lot of kids who wanted to beat me up in high school that used to wear the Ozzy Osbourne logo, Black Sabbath, on the back. So, anyway, Rick, tell us a little bit about PullYourOwnWeight.net, and I understand now you're a pull-up fan. Is that correct? You're a big fan of the pull-ups.
I'm a big functional fitness fan. That's what I am.
Functional fitness as opposed to non-functional, like stuff you can't use.
As opposed to, I'm a big body weight resistance.
Right, meaning like fan. You're the type of guy, if you were stuck on an island like Tom Hanks was in that movie Castaway, you'd be the guy that going, wait a minute, I don't need to go to the gym to work out. There's plenty of things here on the island that I can figure out.
You do not need a gym to work out.
Right,
sure
I can get
don't
fit.
You need a gym to avoid obesity.
Exactly. Sure. So now, how does this translate over to kids? What, first of all, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Here's the essence of Operation Pull Your Own Weight, and it's basically from a logic standpoint, threefold. Number one, statistics have shown that kids who can do at least one pull-up cannot be obese. If you can do a pull-up, you cannot carry 30% body fat. It's simply impossible.
Now, you're talking about the one where you're starting with your arms locked out, not like if you jump up. Because I know my kids like to do pull-ups, and they'll go, they'll jump up to the top, and they'll go,
and their
one.
Knees are in their chest,
right,
you know.
Right, one.
I'm talking about a conventional pull-up with any grip that you want, and that means you're starting with your your arms straight, and ending with your chin touching the bar. If you can do one of those, you cannot carry 30% body fat. It's simply impossible.
Now, how did you get started? First of all, it's like were pull-ups, was that like a big thing when you were a kid? Like, you know, when you were going to school and everything?
Not really. As a matter of fact, I don't think we did a lot of pull-ups when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
I was involved in an at-risk program in Davenport, Iowa, a number of years back, and the goal of the grant was to improve the self-esteem and related performances, which is everything, of the kids who attended this school in Davenport, Iowa. And being the only physical educator on staff, I was the one who was put in charge of the physical aspect of this grant implementation. And what we came up with was, because we didn't have much money, we came up with this pull-your-own-weight concept.
That's right. Lemons, you got to make lemonade.
Yeah, we made some lemonade. As a matter of fact. We had hundreds of kids go from being unable to do pull-ups to being able to do pull-ups in a school year's time. We did this actually over 4 years, and the presumption, of course, is that if you can do a pull-up, you can't be obese, and if you're not obese, you're avoiding a lot of the social problems that go hand-in-hand with obesity, and in this day and age, actually, they've proven that academic performance is undermined by obesity, so not only are you by solving the obesity problem in school, but you're increasing test scores and you're reducing social problems, i.e. bullying, by solving that problem. There's just so much that is attached to
obesity. Now, what do you do with the fat kid who can't do a pull-up?
Yeah, say you got a kid and you want to start them and you want to get them to be able to do pull-ups. Because a lot of people can't even do one, but how do you get someone to do one?
From zero to one.
Where would you start?
Most people can't do one. If I were to go to downtown Atlanta today and pull off 100 people off the street, you'd be lucky if 10 of them could do one pull-up.
Really? Right. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Highest percentage of people cannot do a pull-up today, a legitimate pull-up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the highest percentage of golfers can't break 100.
Especially if you stop like at a Waffle House and you said, okay, let's get a pull-up bar and go, how many can you do?
So the answer to your question is that we use a technique that's called leg-assisted pull-ups. In conjunction with a height-adjustable pull-up bar that moves up and down in one-inch increments. And we start the bar as low as necessary so that Johnny or Jimmy or Susie or Sally can do at least 8 repetitions of leg-assisted pull-ups, jumping and pulling at the same time.
Gotcha.
And basically, we keep the repetitions between 8 and 12. The first workout, they do 8 reps. The second workout, the second day, 2 times a week, by the way, say Tuesday and Thursday. The second workout, they do 9. The third, they do 10. The fourth, they do 11. The fifth, they do 12 repetitions. And when they hit 12 repetitions, the following workout, the bar is raised 1 inch, and the 8 to 12 routine goes happens all over again. So we use these very, very small increments of progress to make sure that the kids that we're working with make progress every single time they put their hands on the bar. It would be like taking your 100-pound bench press and adding 1 pound each time instead of 5 or 10 pounds each time.
Right.
So small, very small increments of progress assure that progress is made on a regular basis over weeks and weeks, months and months. And what happens is basically you develop a motivational momentum that is built into this thing when they succeed week after week, month after month, in front of their friends, by the way, and get high fives when they're done. It feels good to these kids to do pull-ups. And it doesn't take very long before you are being begged by the kids for the opportunity to get on the pull-up bar and get strong.
Now, what about, Rick, if you started them and they just did the negative component, meaning if they just try to lower themselves instead of raising themselves? Would that be another progression that they can do?
No.
To tell you the truth, we've never done that, although I would tell you that we do encourage the kids with the leg-assisted to stop and come down slow.
So that
is, in fact, emphasizing the negative, as you're talking about. But this little technique of gradually raising the bar over weeks and months over the school year, you eventually run out of leg assistance, and at that point you are doing conventional pull-ups. And if you start young, and I'm talking about kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, Most kids, and I'm going to say 90-95% of kids, can learn to do a conventional pull-up, which is to say that most kids can naturally immunize themselves against obesity for life by learning and maintaining the ability to do pull-ups. Now, when I say maintaining, I mean eat and exercise in ways that allow you to maintain the ability to do that, at least one pull-up, and you cannot be obese. You'll never, ever in your entire life wrestle with obesity as long as you maintain the ability to do at least one pull-up. Does that make sense?
Yes. And now, also, now when you talk about the pull-up, great exercise because it involves a lot of different moving parts to this as well. So it's not just the arms, but you're engaging the upper torso as well. Any other things that you do that you encourage people to do, like push-ups and sit-ups?
Well,
or,
I would go as far as this. This is not an exercise regimen. This is an acid test. This is actually designed to replace BMI, which inspires absolutely nobody.
Right.
At BMI doesn't even ask the right questions.
Right.
They ask nothing about muscle mass. They ask nothing about body fat. Kids don't care about it. Teachers don't care about it. Nobody cares about it. It's abstract. It's meaningless. And if you base your program on a meaningless motivation-free concept like BMI, you're destined to fail. On the other hand, kids understand pull-ups.
Right.
Physical educators understand pull-ups, and it's very concrete. You can see the progress. You can feel the progress. You can see yourself getting stronger in front of your friends. One of our goals, actually, is to get the American Academy of Pediatrics, which is headquartered up about 20 minutes from my house here in Elk Grove Village on the west side of Chicago,
right,
to accept pull-ups as a fifth option, along with underwater weighing, electronic impedance, calipers, and the
right,
omnipresent BMI, if they would simply add a functional dimension. And whether it's pull-ups, whether it's dips, whether it's handstand push-ups, any of those things, if you can do one, you cannot be obese. It's very simple.
So
if you can climb a rope, you cannot be obese. And if the American Academy of Pediatrics would add a fifth option alongside those four options that have failed miserably, we would take a huge step in the right direction if pediatricians across the country were advising moms to make sure that your kids can do at least one pull-up.
Now, you keep throwing out the statement that if you can do one, then you can't be obese. Do you have any – is there any science behind that, or is this just your opinion?
Yeah, there is. No, there is science behind it. We've tested basically 1,500 kids in a school district in a town called Shanahan, Illinois. This is a very odd circumstance in that about a third of those kids were able to do at least one pull-up, which was very unusual.
Now, is this based on the definition of obesity? Is it being 30% over their ideal body weight?
This is based on the BMI concept. What we did was we took all the kids
who could
do at least one pull-up. We threw their height weight into a BMI formula, and we found that nobody was even close to a 30 BMI, which is to say 500 out of 500 kids who we tested, actually it's 500 and change, who could do at least one pull-up, zero were obese. As a matter of fact, we have a pending project coming up that's going to do a similar thing with 10,000 kids.
Right.
And what I'm going to expect to see is 10,000 out of 10,000 kids who could do at least one pull-up will
right,
not be obese. It's simply impossible to carry that kind of excess baggage and do a pull-up, or do a dip, or do a handstand push-up, or climb a rope. None of those things
right,
are in the bag. The reason that we use pull-ups is because everybody knows what they are. It's very inexpensive to do the kinds of things we're talking about. There's not a school in Atlanta or Chicago who can't afford to implement what we're talking about here.
Right.
And the other thing is the space factor is minimal.
It sounds like, Rick, the key issue here is motivating kids to be – to.
That is the center. This
right,
is all about motivation.
Because kids want – no kid doesn't want to be – wants to be the weak kid. Every kid wants to be strong. But it's really showing them exercises, things they can do to be successful and not fail at those particular things. And if we start early on, then they can't do that.
As a matter of fact, the title of our book, which I want to mention here, is Strong at Everything – Weak at Nothing, How to Motivate Your Kids to Eat Better, Exercise More, and Naturally Immunize Themselves Against Obesity for Life. So So you're talking about the title of the book. You're absolutely right. Every kid on planet Earth wants to be strong at everything. It's simple as that. And the pull-up bar represents strength to every kid that
now,
I've ever met.
Rick, we're it's an e-book as well, right? Or you can get this. Can you get this at Amazon as well?
You can get them all three places. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on Borders. You can get the e-book on our website, which is .net, not .com. Make sure there is a .com, but that doesn't have nearly the amount of information that the .net does.
Right.
So go to pullyourownweight.net, and the Amazon link is there. The Borders link is there, or you can order it right off of our website. If you order it from the website, we throw an autograph on it. So.
Now, do you go around to school systems? I mean, obviously, a lot of school systems nowadays, they're trying to get rid of physical education. They're making it an option rather than a necessity. Do you go around schools promoting, more fitness-related stuff as well?
Yes, we are working with schools, but we're also working with YMCAs, and we're also working with scouts, and we're working with Boys and Girls Clubs, and basically anybody who's working with kids, we want to work with. But schools are at the center of our target because of the continuity and consistency that you get in school that you don't get in an after-school program.
Right. Well, Rick.
So our main goal is to get this into physical education programs around the country. And if you don't have a physical education program, you can do it anyway. And we do not cover all. This is a long ways from a physical education curriculum. This is strictly an obesity prevention strategy. That is simple and can be implemented. It can be implemented in the home.
Rick, I don't know if you know this, but Michelle Obama listens to our show regularly, so hopefully she listens closely. This is the antidote to getting rid of obesity with kids, just like what she's trying to do. And our book, 35 Things to Know to Raise Active Kids as well, would help that as
right.
well.
And again, the key is, as you said, to motivate kids. If you don't
right.
motivate kids,
it's not
going to
happen.
The war. It's simple as that.
Absolutely.
And when you make it complicated and abstract and expensive and overwhelming, there's not a snowball's chance in purgatory of winning anything, let alone the war on childhood obesity. On the other hand, if you make it simple, concrete, and understandable and motivational, your odds are increased to about 1,000.
Well, Rick, we really appreciate you coming on our show today to tell us about the book, the latest one, Strong at Everything, Weak at Nothing, How to Motivate Your Kids to Eat Better, Exercise More, and to Immunize Against the Obesity of Life. And you can get that at pullyourownweight.net and Amazon. And we really appreciate taking the time out of your schedule to come on our show. And we are big fans of yours, and we will do whatever we need to do to make sure that this gets out there and promote kids from actually being more
right.
active.
No more fat kids.
No
right,
more fat
Rick?
Kids. We're getting rid of fat kids.
No more fat kids. I look forward to shaking your guys' hands one of these days soon.
Thanks, Rick. Take care.
Thanks.
Have a great
Bye.
Day.
You too.
Bye. That is Rick Osborne. Check him out at pullyourownweight.net and get his latest book. And also, when you're online, check out Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy at drfitnessandthefatguy.com. Go to our website. Become one of our Facebook fans right now. I'm going to wait. We got plenty of time.
Go ahead.
Our next guest is holding.
We're not
going to
do any more until we get
here.
One more Facebook fan.
We need more fans. We just had our 500th fan.
That's right.
We should have, at this time, we should have 5 million.
You
I
would think.
I can't believe we only have 500 fans. That's probably because people don't really like us that much.
We don't have that many people that
like us.
I
we ran out of family. Our family no longer can give us any more Facebook.
That's the problem with Facebook. It really illustrates that you have no friends.
Yeah. No, that's what it tells you.
Yeah.
No, it's acquaintances, because your friends really... You know what? If your friends sign up on Facebook, that shouldn't count. Your friends are
right.
your friends. You talk to those people. People on Facebook should be the people you don't really talk to. That's what I think. Anyway, let's bring on our next guest, Lee. I met our next guest, Dustin Mayer, in New York not too long ago. He has a passion. He has a passion for fitness, Lee. Can you believe that? How many people out there do you know have a passion
the guy
for fitness?
That is putting together the Cougar Cruises.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what he's doing. But anyway, I met him up in New York City. He has a website, DustinMayerFitness.com. He actually has a mission to get moms, every mom out there, a million moms, get them in the best shape of their lives.
Are you sure this isn't the Cougar Cruise guy?
No, I don't think it is. The Cougar Cruise? Tell me
like
about that. That sounds something on Howard Stern's show.
I think that's where I heard it.
That's where you heard it? Anyway, Dustin, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Actually, I do fitness cruises, but they're not necessarily cougar cruises.
Now, did you do that one out in I heard that was what happened, that cruise out in California. You guys were working out, and somehow somebody hit the switch to shut the engine off, and before you know it, the whole
thing
caught on
fire.
It's
because they had all the fat people on one side of the boat. It almost capsized.
Is that what happened there?
Yeah, we thought we were going to pull it in by swimming.
So tell us a little bit about – I know that when you were in school, you created a class called Mamatone Fitness. And your mom inspired you because, you know, like most moms, when moms have kids, they go, I'm going to just take care of my kids. I'm not going to worry about myself. And you saw that in your mom, and you wanted, you know, to make sure that moms took the time to keep themselves
healthy.
Yeah,
my mom stayed at home with myself and my three younger siblings, and she just gave and didn't put herself first. And she was still an awesome mom, and she ate well and stuff. So fortunately, you know, she's still around and relatively healthy. But when I got out of college, I knew I wanted to create a class that brought moms together to build community, because I think that's one of the biggest missing links in any fitness program is the community aspect. You know, we can all get excited about an exercise program or an eating plan, but really to make that permanent lifestyle change, you've got to change the environment you surround yourself with and the community that you're part of.
Now, is this?
So I wanted to, do that.
Now, is this really?
You don't
about,
buy that, right, Dr.
Well, Finnis? This is the thing, Dustin.
We spent the whole beginning of the show saying we don't want a community, that we want to be left alone when we exercise.
That's true. No, but this is my question. Now, Dustin, is this about you trying to get moms healthy, or is this you're going through a million people to find your wife? You know, because that's typically maybe you know you're a single guy
issues.
And you're looking at moms and going, they would know who'd be the best person for me to marry. You know, instead of just like your friends saying, dude, she's hot.
I'm already dating. I'm dating one of my clients for the last 3 years.
So, oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah, so, you know, that's not a good plan. Yeah. FYI, dating your clients.
Yeah, we lost a couple of trainers along the way when they started dating the clients. But So anyway, getting back to you and getting back to training moms.
Was she married?
No, she wasn't married.
Now,
how do you get to a million moms? How do you get to a million people to get them healthy?
That's a great question, and that's what I'm in the process of doing right now. I've got a book that I'm working on, so hopefully the next 6 months that'll be out. I've got about 22 DVDs. I've got a pretty large following on my website.
You have 22 DVDs?
Yeah.
Are they yours, or that you just have like Denise Austin, Jane Fonda?
They're all mine. And my whole philosophy is being real. So all my workout DVDs are training moms in their houses, and it's just very relaxed setting, and you know, we're joking, and it's a little bit more unprofessional. You know, we're not doing the spray tans and the fake smiles. You know, these women are actually working really hard.
Right, not the high production stuff. You know, where we have a lot of those people. They come on and there's high production that goes into them. And if there's any sort of sweat, they stop and they, you know, towel off and they get back.
Not all of them.
Some of them do that.
Well, good example. We have a woman. She great shape, and her husband, I guess, told her to drink a lot of creatine and water right before she did the video with me, and she got very, very close to puking. And we kept the film running.
Kept
and
rolling.
It out.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that she had to stop every time to go to the bathroom, and that, you know, kind of kills DVD when you have to do that. Yeah. So
no, not at all.
Now, what about if you were going to give some of the main tips on how to get moms to first of all, how a lot of moms have the same problem. They think that they have to spend all the time with the kids, and if they take any time for themselves, it means they're a bad mom.
No,
how do you get that?
They're cheating on their kids.
Right, they're cheating on their kids. How do you get them to change that attitude?
I don't think they should.
I created this analogy myself, but I think I've heard it since. So I don't know who started. But when I fly a lot, and when the safety thing on the airplane goes, you know, they say if there's loss of cabin pressure, oxygen mask will drop down. Put your mask on first before assisting, you know, others. And that's a great example for life. If we're not taking care of ourselves, if we're not feeling our best, you know, having good self-esteem, self-confidence, the energy, of course, and you're not going to be the best mom, the best wife, you know, the best friend possible. So just trying to change that mindset. Hey, you know, it takes 30 minutes, maybe, you know, 45 minutes out of your day, 3, 4, 5, 6 times a week, whatever, and a conscious, you know, time, taking time to eat healthy. And you're going to be better in all areas. You can be a better example for your kids.
Right. They have to be role models. They have to be a role model
exactly.
To show the kids how important fitness is. If they see them squeezing it in, you know, even when they have a little time.
Wait a minute. How many kids do you have, Dustin?
I've got zero.
There we go.
Don't you love getting parenting advice from people who don't
have
kids?
Dustin, don't listen to
him. You know, if you don't have a kid, there's no way you're going to – when you have your own kid and it's your kid's
Dustin, the fat guy is getting defensive. Can you hear that? You hear it in his voice?
Yes, I can hear it.
You hear that?
How old is Dustin?
What does that have anything to do with his advice?
I'm 27.
You know what you sound like, Lee?
What?
You sound like a 40-year-old mom. That's what you sound
because
like.
Because I'm a 50-year-old dad. That's why.
What, do you think a 50-year-old dad and a 40-year-old mom are the same?
Pretty close.
Dustin, you see what I deal with? You see what I have with him? See how he tries to shoot down all this good advice that you have for people?
A 20-year-old.
Dude, he's like in Vietnam. He's in the firing. He's right on the front lines of obesity.
Wait.
With moms that are gaining 70 pounds from pregnancy, and they're trying to lose weight.
70 pounds.
Absolutely, right? You've had people that have gained 70 pounds.
Oh, yeah. I currently train about 1,800 moms. I've trained about 5,000
moms.
He's 5,000
moms? Wait a minute. First of all, you're doing this in Wisconsin, right? You're not doing this in Beverly Hills, right? This isn't like
travels all over the place.
This isn't Desperate Housewives. You're in Wisconsin where there's the meat and the cheese, and it's freezing cold like 10 months out of the year, right? People are fat up there, right? They're not so healthy up there.
You know, not too much. You can find, fat or unhealthy people
anywhere.
But,
yeah, right.
We've got our share of both.
Right. So
we have a lot of women losing 50 to 70 pounds. It's not too uncommon.
Absolutely. So I think what you're saying is absolutely 100% right on the money. They've got to be role models. They've got to be able to do that. And listen, if you're married to a guy like the fat guy, I would probably say you got to get rid of that guy, too. You probably have to give that advice, too, Dustin, right?
Well,
get rid of the guy you said.
Yeah, you got to get rid of if your husband is being a saboteur, don't you have to get rid of him?
How many other trainers in your studio are dating their clients?
He's only dating one person now. That's all he's
today.
Doing.
That's today.
I do a lot of speaking to companies and stuff, and I do talk about getting rid of your negative influences. I usually do say probably don't go quite so far as getting rid of your spouse, but. Maybe spend a little less time with them.
There you go. Less time.
More time with the trainer. That's always a good plan.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing bad will happen there.
That's right. Now, Dustin, so where do you see this going? Is there going to be some sort of event when you get to 1 million moms? Are you guys going to do like a march down, like
Million Man March?
Million Man March. Are you doing this in D.C. sometime? Is there something going to happen?
That would be really cool. But what I'm really starting with is to localize, moms who are passionate about my mission, creating their own groups in their own communities, kind of like a book club, Oprah's Book Club. I would have my Fit Moms for Life clubs, and they meet in churches or schools or homes, do my workouts, and just kind of, get to know each other, build that community, and then accountability, and, help each other out. And certainly from there, the sky's the limit. We could do a lot of events. There's so much stuff we can do, but we're just working at, building from our 5,000-person mom base right now to, obviously 1 million in the next 4 years.
Now we got Thanksgiving coming upon us this coming week, and this we call this like right now. This is like the Super Bowl of gaining weight. This is like you can't. The time between Halloween till New Year's, this is like definitely the best time to put on as much weight as possible. Any good tips for Thanksgiving that you can tell the moms out there what they should be thinking about? And in terms of getting ready for Thanksgiving
a couple things. One thing is there's so many outings we have. We've got a lot of parties, especially towards like Christmas and New Year's. And one thing I tell people is when you're eating, by yourself or just going through your daily routine, eat as perfect as possible. So don't be, cheating on your meals or eating, desserts by yourself or even with your family. Save those for the times that you are out, at a buffet or at some social gathering. That's one tip. Another one is, if it's a buffet style, which a lot of those are, all the foods at the one table, just go fill your plate up with whatever you're going to get and then walk away. Stand right there and just keep eating and talking.
That's where we're different. I like to pull my chair up to the buffet. Is that wrong?
You
save trips.
Dusty, you know what the fat guy does at his house for Thanksgiving?
What's that?
A scale that everybody has to get on when you walk in, and then when you leave, he has a scale. So what he does is he has only a couple of people.
It's an accountability tool.
Yeah, so you got to,
We all weigh each other before.
It's fun.
My brother has that. My brother and I have actually done that also. We can put on 7 pounds is what we
seven,
can.
Seven
that's,
pounds.
That's the
is that
that's the mayor record.
Is that naked? Are you guys doing it naked when you walk in? You got to take off all your, you know, because you know when you sneakers, you kind of.
That's how we do it in right, Thanksgiving. Right. Nothing like a big naked Thanksgiving party.
That's right. Now, what about cooking wise? Is there anything that people should, you know, is there any way they can save calories in certain places and
yeah, I mean one of the big things is, you know, I'm sure you're talking about this a lot on your show, is protein makes you full, and if you're eating lean protein, it's not, you know, going to be super high in calories. So start with your protein. You know, so if it is, you know, Thanksgiving, your turkeys, that type of stuff. Get your vegetables. You know, your sweet potato yams are going to be pretty high in calories because you add a lot of sugar to that. But you know, your vegetables generally are going to be, of course, low on calories. So really start to fill up on the better stuff first. You know, get the complex carbs in there, and then, you know, for like, I don't know, the cranberry sauce and the desserts at the end and the stuffings, all those are going to be, you know, a little bit worse for you. So hopefully by that point you've already, you know, filled up somewhat.
So do you have any tips on how to power through that feeling of fullness and eat more?
Eat as fast as you can.
It's speed? Speed. about speed.
Yeah, it takes your body about 20 minutes to figure out that it's full. So if you can... you can stuff it really fast for a while there, you can do pretty well.
That's a good tip for our competitive eaters.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the fat guy is going to be doing some competitive eating, I can tell you that. He's a big turkey guy. And Lee, are you doing the turkey this year at your house?
We buy it from Popeyes.
Cajun, oh yeah, they turkey. they do a fried turkey.
Popeyes.
How do you?
Oh my goodness.
They fry the turkey. Is that like the worst? I heard, like, to me, turkey is so good just by itself.
Are you saying define worst?
What's
I mean,
that?
It's delicious.
I know. I heard it's delicious. But it's so good with nothing. How can it be that much better
with
something?
Oh, mister, I love bland food. Shockingly, you're afraid of anything that has flavor.
No, but I'm saying that turkey, to me, you're screwing it up if you're
frying
it. Oh,
yeah, by adding Cajun spices and frying it. It ruins it.
I just can't imagine being that much
better. Of course
better.
You can't.
I can't
of course
see
you can't.
That, Dustin. I cannot see that. So
I bet Dustin's had a fried turkey before in Wisconsin.
No, we haven't.
Never had a fried turkey in my life.
See,
never?
Had, no.
In Wisconsin.
Fit. Dustin, he's got a – no, he's fit, man. This guy's not eating fried turkey.
I'm in Vegas right now ready to compete the National Fitness Modeling Competition.
You're a fitness model?
Are you really doing that?
I am.
Get out of here.
You're kidding me.
Oh, yeah. You would love this scarf that Dr. Fitness has on now if I would have known you were a fitness model. And Dr.
No
Fitness,
kidding.
You should be hooking him up with your
Dustin.
Accessories. And you could share your grooming tips.
I'm going to punch him for you. I'm going to give him a good punch for you. Now you're not doing any of those crazy diets like the ones that we saw. There was one I'm trying to remember. This was, I think, from models. What they do is they leave food on the windowsill to make sure that it goes bad, like a shrimp, and they eat it to get food poisoning. You don't do any of that stuff, do you?
I've never heard of that. No, not at all.
No,
we,
so yeah,
we
that,
go pretty low calorie, high carb, high protein, moderate fat, and very low carbs.
So now, what's part of the competition? What do you have to do for the part of the competition?
So it's a 3-round. I'm in the male model category, so we have a swimsuit round. I don't wear the Speedos.
Thank God.
A little bit. So
thank you. Yeah.
I got giraffe legs. I'm 6'5" and all legs. So,
you're 6'5"?
Yeah, he's tall. Big guy. Big guy.
6'5".
Six five right now. I lost about 18 pounds for the show. My body fat's at about 4.5%.
Dude, I bet you can't wait.
That's a little chunky.
I bet you can't. No, I bet he can't wait for Thanksgiving.
They time this every year. Yeah, I do this every year. And, they time it the week before Thanksgiving.
So oh, that's perfect.
Perfect.
Well, listen, Dustin.
180 pounds right now.
108. So he weighs less than both of us, and he's a foot taller than both of us. That's impressive.
Dustin, listen, we really appreciate you coming on the show. The website is Dustin Mayer Fitness. That's Mayer, M-A-H-E-R, mayerfitness.com. Go check out
One other thing real quick. If they could visit fitmomsforlife.com/ thank you.
Thank you.
HTML, just, yeah. I've got a gift for them. They can go get my first DVD and CD and a little bit of meal plans and stuff for just the cost of shipping. So if they want to check that out, fitmomsforlife.com/thank you.
Well, Dustin, we really appreciate you coming on the show today. And I want you to have a safe and happy Thanksgiving. And
yeah, best of luck. And I hope you're cycling your steroids well right now so you don't get caught.
And we wish
you 180 pounds of steroids.
That's right. And we hope the best for the million mom march that's going to be coming up hopefully within the next couple of years.
Absolutely. With him and Sarah Cam.
If the women are out there listening, you know, go to DustinMaherFitness.com and on the left hand side they'll put their name and email in. They'll get my newsletter pack full of, you know, good fitness information and more details about how they can join the movement.
Thanks, Dustin. We really appreciate it. Have a great holiday.
I appreciate it.
Take care. Bye-bye. Right. Have a great day.
Thank you.
That's Dustin Maher. Man, I butchered his last name, Lee. What'd you think of that? Dustin Maher Fitness Tech. Check him out. Go to DustinMaherFitness.com. And when you're online, make sure you check out Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy at DrFitnessAndTheFatGuy.com. Check out our new book, 35 Things to Know to Raise Active Kids. You don't know what they are. I guarantee you, you think you know, but you don't. And that's why we wrote this book.
We didn't go with the obvious ones.
People think that they know how to raise active kids. They do not
know.
They don't know.
Go to the mall. There's plenty of fat kids.
Yeah. They're running around all over the place. So make sure you go check out our book. Okay. Let's bring on our next guest. We have with us Dr. Keith Scott. He is the author of Medicinal Seasonings, The Healing Power of Spices. Now, we've known this for many years. How come?
Is this Spice Girls?
No, spices.
Spices.
These are actually spices. These, how ordinary spices have the abilities to slow
like
aging.
Salt?
No, salt is not.
Salt's a spice?
No, it's not. Is it? It's a spice, but it's not a good spice.
There's bad spices?
We're going to talk about the good ones, the ones that are out there. And Dr. Keith, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Adam and Lee, and to your guests. Thanks for having me on the show.
It is an honor to have you on the show. You've written a great book, and it's amazing, Dr. Scott, how most people don't realize that a lot of the healing things that we can get from, you know, we think about drugs and to heal stuff, you can get them from foods, and you can curb inflammation by what you eat. Isn't that correct?
Yes, absolutely, and spices are probably the source of more medicinal compounds than any other food category. They've got the highest concentration of antioxidants of any food, including the much touted berries, and they have many other compounds that have preventive properties and can be used to treat conditions.
So now, what are your go-to spices?
Yeah, if you were going to create a list, let's say maybe 5 to 10 of the spices that
you
got to
buy his book for this.
You got to buy the book, but you got to get to the reasons why. But what would be the ones that are the absolute must that you have to take on a daily basis?
All right. I would say the queen of the spices is turmeric.
Ah. It's
definitely got most of the good properties.
Good choice.
Turmeric and black pepper is very good. And the mint family, they're very high in antioxidants again. Cinnamon is one of the top ones. Ginger and licorice is very good as well.
Licorice.
And I could actually, you said about 10, but there are many others I could mention.
What
basil,
about Skittles?
Coriander.
I don't think
sorry,
they
have. Fennel.
Fennel.
Yes.
Did you say fennel?
No, he said Skittles. Yes, the candy yeah. Skittles he was talking about.
What about salt? How do you feel about salt?
Salt, I heard your conversation earlier on the previous interview. Salt is not really categorized as a spice. It's a condiment more. But I suppose you could argue the semantics of that. But salt is essential for survival, sodium. You need it. But the problem with salt is people eat too much of it, and you can eat too much of anything. You can eat too many calories and get fat and then get sick. Now, it's all a question of quantity with anything you eat.
Now, you mentioned a bunch of the ones you mentioned, especially turmeric and ginger, are known to be they're known to block inflammation. How come most doctors and most people out there, when they talk about curbing inflammation, the first thing they go to is an aspirin, and they don't talk about the things that you can eat to curb inflammation? Why is that?
Well, I think it's we've moved away from herbal treatments since modern pharmaceuticals have taken the front stage, and most people just aren't aware of it. I wasn't aware of it from medical school. These are things I've picked up on the way, and turmeric was one of the first ones. I would say garlic is one of the first ones I heard had medicinal values for blood pressure and heart disease. But turmeric is attracting a huge amount of research in terms of cancer, Alzheimer's disease, and recently it's shown to help you lose weight, funnily enough, and to help with osteoporosis. So in my view, that's why it is the queen of spices. But interestingly, turmeric actually needs other spices to help it be utilized by the body, and black peppers in particular. If you just take turmeric by itself, it's not used well, but with other spices, it's
so it has to be
protected from the body.
It has to be in concert with pepper, you're saying, black pepper.
Yes, and possibly other spices. If you look at turmeric supplements, they're often called curcumin because that's the main compound. They often have turmeric supplements with a compound called piperine, which comes from black pepper, and that protects the turmeric from being metabolized by the body's enzymes, and it can be utilized. But if you just take pure turmeric with nothing else, it'll just be destroyed and won't have any benefits.
Now, Dr. Scott, what about people? Now that the some of these spices are available, and people you can get them in capsule form, and it's being marketed almost kind of as a pharmaceutical. Can you take these things in a pharmaceutical dosage or in a capsule form? Let's say you take turmeric and you take ginger and you take other things as well. Can you get the same benefit, or does it have to be stuff that you have to cook with and eat in your foods?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Adam, because you look at it from two aspects. I'm really trying to promote the preventive aspect, and in that respect, one needs a wide range of spices because you need to cover yourself for a wide range of diseases. And in that context, you would be taking spices in smaller dosages as one would in traditional recipes. As soon as you get into the realm of treating conditions, like curcumin is used, people are taking now for breast cancer and various other conditions, Alzheimer's, and often it's a 500 milligram capsule, and you take about six of those a day. And like any other herb, one is taking that as more as a pharmaceutical or as a medicinal herb, because there's a difference. There's an overlap between spices and culinary herbs and medicinal herbs. But a culinary herb becomes medicinal when you take it in high doses, and that's when you should be taking it under the supervision of a healthcare practitioner.
Right. So one is for, if there's you're treating a particular disease for, and you're saying basically you have to get this stuff from your diet on a regular basis to get the health benefits of taking these things. Now, is it hard to
Yes, absolutely.
Is it hard to prepare meals in terms of for you personally? Do you use a lot of the spices and stuff, or are you kind of limited and to your preference? Is it hard to find good recipes with a lot of these different types of spices? Because you can say I need to eat these for my health, and then you mix a little bit of cinnamon, you put a little bit of turmeric, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, this tastes horrible.
Well, that's exactly the case. I was brought up on a fairly bland Western-type diet, probably very similar to the American diet. And it's only when I discovered all this research going into the healing properties of spices that I realized I really had to do something about increasing my intake. And in that context, I found it very difficult to suddenly change my taste buds. It's difficult to go from one type of eating to another. Suddenly, I've got to eat like someone from India or Thailand, three times a day for breakfast. And so what I did is I just went out and bought a whole lot of spices and ground them up and made a powder out of, about 20, 22. And it was a terrible tasting thing. But I just wanted to get this stuff in on a regular basis. And, the formula's on my website. It's spicemd.com. People can go there and find their way to the formula, and they can copy it. And that's why I did it, because I'm absolutely convinced that spices are very, very important, and there's so much research going on. They are going to attract a lot more attention, but they haven't got enough yet, as far as I'm concerned, especially from the preventive aspect.
Now, what about with the kids? How do we get the is it important to expose your children at an early age to different types of spices so that they can, they possibly could like them later on in life? Or is it something where you don't want to give kids spicy foods or things that that may be hot or stuff like that?
Well, Adam, you know, that's a good point, because I've spoken to a lot of people from the Indian subcontinent about this issue of how they give it to children. They do introduce them at an early age, and we know that most children develop their taste preferences within the first 5 years of life. And that's why these fast food chains advertise to children, because they know they've hooked them for life once they've got a hold of their taste buds. And yes, I think that is absolutely the case, because we, you know, myself, I was brought up with fairly bland food, and that's more or less what I like.
Right.
Whereas you get someone from India, they come over as adults. I worked with some in hospitals in the UK, and they just wouldn't go to the canteens because they said they don't eat cardboard.
Right.
And you know, they were just eating a huge amount of spices.
Right. Now, you also – didn't you also make a short – you did a documentary as well, Spices, a Health Mystery Solved. And you're also an emergency room doctor as well. How did you get into medicinal seasonings? What was – did something happen in your life that you said, you know what, I want to get into this area rather than just doing the conventional stuff?
Well, I've been in family practice for many years, and I've done emergency medicine you know, at the same time. And I've always had an interest in nutrition. I wrote a book a few years ago called Natural Home Pharmacy, in which I did include medicinal herbs like ginger and a few others. And I had an idea to write another book a few years ago, and I had a topic that I was going to write about, and it wasn't spices, but I started researching all the medical literature. And the spice research kept popping up, and more came across, and I had all these files up, and I realized there was a whole book in it. And that is when I actually, you know, the scales fell from my eyes, as it were, and I realized that, wow, the spices are really the, I call it a missing link in nutrition. I firmly believe that, because there is so much out there, and I think the research so far just is the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot more to come.
Well, your book is a fantastic read. It's a lot of great information. It's called Medicinal Seasonings, The Healing Power of Spices. You can use it especially if you're concerned about heart attacks, strokes, cancer, Alzheimer's disease, diabetes. There are wonderful there's wonderful information here, and highly recommend that people get it. Can they get that at your website as well, spicemd.com, Dr. Scott?
Spicemd.com, that's correct. And they can actually do, there's a free download of the whole book, so they can go to the page with the book on it and download the whole book. And then if they want to buy the hard copy, they can go to the Amazon.com link and buy from Amazon.
Well, we really appreciate coming on the show today. Fantastic information. Anything for the holidays? I know you're calling from South Africa. We really appreciate you calling in today. But we have Thanksgiving here in the States next week.
Yeah, what spices work well on turkey?
Yeah, what's a good spice for turkey? Anything? The fat guy's going to go with cayenne pepper.
I like Cajun.
Well, you know, I'm not a cook, Adam, so I can't give you any advice there. I'm trying my best, and I've got some recommended spice books on my website. But I heard you discussing the problem of overeating over Thanksgiving, so I'll just give you the spices that help with
sure.
Overweight. And turmeric, I mentioned earlier, recent research. Chilies are good, garlic, and fenugreek. So those are ones that you can possibly find a recipe for.
Perfect.
But all spices do suppress the appetite to a certain degree, because a lot of appetite comes from your sense of smell, and if you overload your sense of smell, you actually lose your appetite to a certain extent.
Thank you so much, Dr. Scott. We really appreciate the information. Great stuff, and thanks again. We'd love to have you back on the show. The website is spicemd.com. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you, too. Thanks for the show.
No problem. Have a great day. That is Dr. Keith Scott. Check him out at spicemd.com. And when you're online, check out Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy at drfitnessandthefatguy.com. Check out our new book, 35 Things to Know to Raise Active Kids. Check out also, we're going to be in Knoxville, Tennessee in January. We're also going to be at a book signing also somewhere, Lee. I don't know. Somewhere in
the Baltimore?
Yeah, we're going to be in Baltimore in May. Absolutely.
And then somewhere in North Georgia.
Yeah, book signing. Yeah, we'll be doing some fun stuff there. So go to our website, check out some of our information, and that's it. I want to thank our guests for coming on the show today. I want to thank, first and foremost, Lee Cantor. I want to thank you.
As
always,
you should.
Being such a great
As
guest.
You should.
A great host, I should say.
It sounds like you forgot the name of
our
first guest.
Rick Osborne, check out his website, pullyourownweight.net. I want to thank Dustin Maher. Check him out at dustinmaherfitness.com.
And Dustin Mayer as well.
Dustin Mayer. I was thinking John Mayer.
Bill Maher.
Bill Maher.
Spelled no, it's not spelled. Was it spelled the same way?
Close.
Bill Maher. Bill Maher. Yeah. And
he's probably right.
Dr. Keith Spott, check him out, spicemd.com. Check out his new book, Medicinal Seasonings, The Healing Power of Spices. Well, Lee, that's all we've got today. For Lee Cantor, I am Dr. Adam Shaffrin. Every week, we are making healthy living
fun for everyone.
We'll see you next time.